for Success Express, your business, career, and financial radio magazine. Hosted by Lisa and Nancy, editors of BigBlendMagazines.com.
Welcome to Big Blend Radio Success Express Business and Career Show. And today we're excited to have Lee Brovedani back on with the show with us. You know, this is really an interesting time because a lot of us are going, oh, do we go back to work in the actual workplace? Do we stay home and work from home? Will our company allow us to do that? And then some of us have had to make complete career changes. I know a lot of people have even opened up new businesses with this whole, we're not quite post-pandemic yet. We're getting there, but things have definitely changed for the workforce. And Lee is joining us today to talk about, you know, if you're going to go out and get a job and even the career that you're in, the people you're working with, you want to have a positive trust experience, a positive trust culture in the workplace, whether you're remote or not. And so she's going to be talking about that. Now, Lee is one of our Big Blend experts, and she is known as the Trust Architect. She is one of North America's leading experts on trust. She's the author of Trust Me, Restore Belief and Confidence in an Uncertain World, and Trusted, Secret Lessons from an Inspired Leader. She's a contributing author in four other books, and she was also awarded the Lifetime Achievement for Top Thought Leader in Trust by Trust Across America. Man, Lee, you're just going to, this introduction is getting longer and longer each time you come on the show. I'm getting tongue-tied with it all. But everyone, LeeBrovedani.com is the website to go to. That's LeeBrovedani, LeeBrovedani.com. So welcome back. How are you?
I'm good. So, yes. July 4th is done. All the fireworks are done. And for all of us, we were talking about our dogs. Now our dogs can calm down. They trust that there won't be any more big, loud noises for the next couple nights.
Hopefully.
Yes. Exactly. You know, this whole thing about the 4th of July is a really good, comparison there because, everything's working along smoothly. Then COVID comes and everybody changes. Like, okay, here's 4th of July. Kaboom, kaboom. The dogs in the house are like, what's going on? Are we under attack? And people don't just do it on 4th of July. They start doing it on the Friday and the Saturday. And then I bet you more people do it tonight again because they'll have more fireworks left over. So there's, that unsettled feeling, and it's that surprise that makes you wonder about trusting your environment. And you always have to have a little bit of eye open, like, okay, things always change. But in the workforce, it has completely changed. COVID really has changed things around, and we're watching things open up everywhere across the country as Nancy and I travel, and also a lot of scrambling because even going back to work, it's like, well, how did we do this? I don't even know how to use a coffee pot in the office. You know what I mean? So there's a lot of change. And I think change is a breeding ground for distrust sometimes.
Yeah. And I've talked to a lot of people who said that they can't attract the workers back. So all of the stores and restaurants, people don't want to go back to those jobs, and they're having a heck of a lot of trouble finding people just to even man the stores. So talk to people that in some of the small rural areas, they go to the store to pick up something and there's a sign on the door that says staffing issues, we're only open on these days. So instead of being open 7 days a week, they're having to close a couple of days because everything's kind of turned upside down. And I've talked to leaders who have said that their staff are saying, I don't want to come back to the office full time. Maybe a couple of days a week, maybe. But they're quite happy working from home. And I think that has surprised a few people because even with COVID, we've missed the interaction with people. And yet the other side of that is we don't want to go back to the office where we get to have that interaction. So, it's an interesting dilemma.
Yeah. I know a lot of our clients are in the hospitality industry, and hotels and restaurants are having a really, really hard time getting their staff back. I don't know what their staff went on to do that was different, but they're not coming back. It, you know, it's an interesting thing. So maybe that particular industry has to take a look at how they're managing their employees and how they're paying.
Or leading.
Yeah.
Leading.
Yeah. And where did they go?
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Where are these staff going to get employed? I don't know. Another question that makes me curious. Does it make you curious? Like, yeah. If they're not working there, and that was what they did before, what are they going to be doing? So that's...
I don't know.
I think more businesses are opening up, which maybe we'll see a revival of the small business. But it's also interesting what you say about, you know, stores being closed part-time, you know, like, okay, we're not consistent anymore. And in tourism and in marketing, consistency is key. You know, if someone drives to go to your restaurant and you're closed, you know, people do drive over an hour for a really good pie or really good ice cream or whatever, a good wine, whatever it is, they will drive for it. And you get there. That's why I say in everything, check websites, call even. That's even, you know, sometimes they don't even update their websites.
Exactly.
And that consistency is lost, which again, doesn't that go back to part of trust is having consistency. So it's a very interesting time. And I wonder how many companies aren't, they're definitely stressed doing it, but I wonder how they're going to create that balance of getting some consistency back and also not BSing about it. You know what I mean? I feel sometimes that some companies are just cutting the wrong corners, maybe.
Yeah. You want your customers and your clients and the people who work to trust the environment. They have to know, and in order to do that, they have to know what to expect. And so being able to have the consistent hours. But right now, I don't think we've come to the point where we can manage. Sorry, that big sound is one of the things when you have work from home is you have dogs, and my dog just...
We were talking about dogs. Well, let's just be. That's little Booker.
There we go, Booker.
There's Booker. Oh, hi, Booker.
Booker.
That's part of the consistent environment.
We took a quick dog break where Booker just pushed his way through the closed door because he doesn't respect boundaries.
But just going back to the hours, I think we're not in a new normal yet. We're really not. It's a balancing act. And even in the tourism industry, it's like this flood of everybody out driving. We drove from Prescott, Arizona to Albuquerque over Friday of the 4th of July weekend. And it was like, oh my God, I forgot about this kind of traffic. It wasn't a long drive, but it was a long drive by the time we, you know, went through monsoon storms and everything, which was pretty cool. But the traffic was back to the normal of 4th of July traffic. And we've been spoiled. Nancy and I have totally been spoiled for, over a year being on the road during the pandemic, where your major traffic is truckers. And
that's
we still didn't get our CB radio. But anyway, going back to that, we're not quite there. So there's this big, boom of tourism, but eventually it's going to level out too. So there's change, there's inconsistency.
Yeah.
I think, you talk about some of, your pillars of trust is communication, commitment. So communication, isn't that kind of key right now for people, for the business owners to let their customers know, use your website, your newsletter, your social media, be very transparent about, hey, we're still dealing with this. Don't just leave it to a sign on a door. Isn't that part of it is that communication helps to keep the trust factor there?
Yeah. During crisis communication, and I think most people could agree that the pandemic has been a crisis. So during crisis communication, one of the things that we teach is that you need to increase the number of times you're communicating with people, and you have to be able to spell things out. One of the things when I'm talking to people, and I'll talk to them about what is important for them to have trust, a lot of times I hear buzzwords that are really popular right now, and I always ask the question, what does that mean to you? So I was talking to someone today and they said, well, I think it's really important if we're going to have trust with our group that there's transparency. And I said, okay, what does transparency mean to you?
Yeah.
And she said, well, people feel safe to be able to share their opinion. And, you know, they can say something without there being repercussions, and they can tell what's on their mind. And so it got, once we kind of went through that, the communication had to be really clear. I said, so for you, it means being safe to be able to say what you want to say on your mind. It's all around safety. And she said, yes, that's very different from transparency. So with communication during these times, I think that we have to get beyond the buzzwords and beyond saying all of the things that we kind of hear all the time, and try and get to, this is what I need. This is what I have to talk about. And for some people, depending on the person that you're working for, it can be pretty scary being transparent and telling what's on your mind, because if you don't trust the person you're working for to accept what you have to say without firing you, you aren't going to be honest. You're not going to be transparent, and you're not going to speak what's on you.
That's true. Mm. That's really true. I, you know, worked in auto club, automobile club, and we had a manager in our particular branch office that was just really treating the women, was harassing every single female employee. And it, oh gosh, once one started talking about it and we all started comparing notes, it wasn't long before the main office had to do something. And once they came in, oh my gosh, you would have, it was like all the women did something wrong by saying, hey, this guy is too touchy-feely and he needs to stop. And we were forced to all make statements in writing, and then they would come and cross-examine you. I'm like, you know what? This is my solution. I quit. And it took me 2 days to get another job. And I will always remember how horrible they made us feel with the cross-examining. Are you sure you want to use this word? Are you sure that's exactly what happened? Oh. And it was like, you know what? Are you sure I want to work here? I'm sure I don't. Bye-bye. Because it really got uncomfortable. Sometimes offices can get really out of control with what, who said what to who and who did what to who. It's, the office environment can be
toxic
and challenging. We're working from home.
Yeah, you can kind of see why people like to work from home. But what ends up being lost, especially for some of the young people who are trying to develop their career, is so much of what happens to get you promoted happens between conversations, you know, like I say, hallway conversations, but a lot of times in meeting. So if you are a senior leader and you're at a place where you have access to all of the people that can promote you, you're fine. But if you're someone who's starting out and you're saying, I'm going to work from home, I like working from home, the one thing that I believe is going to be lost is that opportunity to form connections.
That's true.
And have the conversations that you wouldn't normally have. Like in a virtual workplace, a lot of times I'm talking to the same people. Mm-hmm. They're going to be the people that are in the room, in the virtual room. But if I'm in an office, there's the interaction that you have where, you know, the three people above your position all of a sudden have an opportunity to see your work. Not that it can't happen in a virtual world, but it's harder for that to happen. And it's harder to step out of your little cubicle, and I'm not talking just the physical, but it's harder to step out of that and then connect with somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you kind of see that as well.
Yeah, sure. I think that's, people do miss that in interaction. I mean, we want to see you in person. I mean, this is great that we can see you for the YouTube and Facebook part of this podcast. You can still get an audio and everything, but you know, meeting someone, there's nothing that can replace that. You really can't. And I think, you know, moving forward in a company, you're absolutely right. It is about having that, you know, the boss came down and I'm, you know, making coffee, pour him or her that extra cup and manage to say something to create some kind of conversation that you can connect with in the future. It's all about those little moments that I do think are going to go away a little bit.
Right.
Maybe, you know, this balance, you know, how are companies going to look at that too? Because they need to look at who to promote and have that connection too. It's not just the employee, it is also the company itself. So they do have to create a new culture and also trust that their employees are doing what they say they're doing at work, at home, you know, if they're going to be at home. So it's a trusted, the whole thing is trust, no matter how you look at it, all the way around. Just creating this new, depending on where you are, workforce, you know?
I mean, in a way, they're going to know whether or not you're doing your job by what you turn in, if you have to turn things in, or if you're a salesperson, what are your, you know, sales numbers like? They're going to know whether or not you're successfully working from home eventually. Mm-hmm. You know, there's going to be checks and balances. So it might be more comfortable to work from home, but it might not be as lucrative, and you might not be as successful working from home, or you might be more successful.
Yeah.
Depending on your home environment. I mean, some people have, a ton of kids running around, and maybe that isn't really quiet enough or professional enough. This really depends on your home environment, I think.
And there's also the other side of it, that if you have children and you are able to work from home, there are times when that saves all of that, because childcare, I know some women who spent like 40% or 50% of their salary on childcare expenses.
Right. Yeah.
So if they can work from home and they can cut those costs,
Then
their salary automatically increases without them having to do anything different. They can put in the same amount of effort and get twice as, you know, take home pay. So I think there's so much that's going to change. And I do see, I've talked to a few leaders, and they do see it's going to be a hybrid. They don't see the whole workforce going back. There's a few companies that are saying, yes, we want everybody back into a bricks and mortar building. And what I have heard from a lot of people is, yeah, if that's the case, I'm going to quit and find a place that will let me work from home. So I think we're in for a bit of a, I don't say a bumpy ride. I think that we're in to see some real changes in how the workforce operates.
I think it's exciting too for tourism, because people can go away on vacations midweek instead of always the weekend. You know, we look at our national parks and they're getting, you know, nailed with record visitations, which isn't necessarily a good experience for the people and not a good experience for nature. You know, it's just not a good experience. So, you know, that's just one example of you know, people are going to change their lifestyle and their travel habits according to their job and their work, I should say. But I do think you're right about this hybrid. With what you do, Lee, I know this is a busy time, because as people are changing these procedures and how they work, are you working with a lot of the HR people in companies? Are those are the main people that you work with, the management, to help put out the right communication that does breed trust? Like, if, okay, we're going to allow this hybrid of some people working at home, they have to have some kind of message of, you know, you can still trust our leadership, right? So are you working more in the HR? Who do you work with the most with trust?
So I'm going to be, I'll just look at the companies that I'm currently have contracts with. So I'm going back to do presentations in person at two in-person conferences. One is in Dallas and one is in Orlando. And that's with, a large, they do a lot of help desks. So anyone who has inbound calls, they have these huge conferences. They have 3,000 people at the conferences. So I'll be doing a breakout room there and talking about what I do. Mm-hmm. But those are all managers from various companies that are trying to figure out how they can operate. And it's the presentation is called How to Build Trust in a Virtual World. So, and it's all about the hybrid presentation. So I have a couple of months, and I can tell you that my process of doing things is that I'm starting to do my research, and between now and September, I'll dive into it and interview a lot of people who have workforces that are both working from home and going back to the office. So for that, it's speaking at conferences. The other companies that I'm working with are senior management teams. So I'm speaking to a lot of the managers within organizations to talk about how to bring their staff back and build that trust, because everybody's a little skittish right now. And, you know, just to be a little nerdy for a minute, one of the things that I did, and you both probably know this, I did a lot of work with emotional intelligence for years before I started trust. So one of the things that I checked on was, what do emotions have to do with trust? And positive emotions make us trust people more. So if we're laughing and having a good time, and when I see you, I'm smiling and everything, it usually indicates that I trust you, because positive emotions, and you think about it, if you see somebody and they make you smile, there is usually a trust component to that relationship.
Right.
Anger and rage and, you know, not all of those emotions usually are correlated with people we don't trust. So if you think of someone who makes, every time you think of them, you get kind of angry or PO'd. When, if someone were to say to you, well, do you trust them? Probably not, because those negative emotions. So if someone insults you all the time, if someone, you feel like uncomfortable, or Nancy, in your case, the company that was making you go through all of those hoops, just to be able to speak your truth.
It was terrible.
You didn't trust them at all.
No, not at all. You know, and then even as they used to be my car insurance company, but they're so not my car insurance company now.
No.
I don't trust them now. And it's been, so, you know, 30 something years.
40, 50, 40. Almost 50.
Okay, that's enough now.
That's a couple of years ago.
Yeah, divided in half.
I had a boss that he was so annoying. He used to go down the row of desks and pound the stapler on everybody's desk every morning. And it was just so annoying. And it's funny that it's annoying. When I look back, I'm like, well, who cares? But it was so annoying that we really never knew him. It was so annoying that you didn't trust him and you just didn't like him because he kept doing that. It was invasive, I guess. And so one day I moved the stapler and he hit the desk and he got really angry and he started screaming. I'm like, ha ha.
This is why we have our own company, Lee.
This is why we don't work for people.
But
it's weird. People do weird things, you know, in a management position. So if you're working from home, you still have to do your job. But sometimes you just don't have to put up with those little weird, petty things.
The annoyances, yeah.
Well, there are annoyances through the internet, like just in communication online. It's somebody may just, you know, message you frequently, or, you know, it's like, here's this. And then there's just so many ways people can annoy people online and then, you know, you could be in a work atmosphere and duck from someone, but then if you have to be in a Zoom meeting, they're like right in your face and you may just be going, ew, I don't want that at, you know, 7 a.m. So, I mean, there's, no matter what, there's that, you have to kind of get through all of that. But the trust part for a company now, I was reading one of your blog posts, and everyone, if you go to LeeBrovaDanny.com, you can find out about her books, her speaking engagement, how to connect with her, but also your blog. You've got all these great articles. You talk about trust culture in a company, but it was interesting because you went into like, okay, you're out there. Maybe you did tell your other company, listen, this is how I want to do things, and I'm, you know, moving on. Or the industry changed, because a lot of industries have completely changed. And so now you're out doing a new job search. And of course, there's all those websites, but you were talking about looking at the reviews. And so instead of just jumping for a job because you need a job, you're like, slow down, Nelly, take a look at, do you really want to work there? Because do you want to walk into a toxic environment and something? Because if you do and something negative happens, I know you talk about getting there before there's conflict in a working situation, whether it's verbal or it can, end up in lawsuits, you know. We're going to get you on a show with Ward Heinrichs, our employment attorney.
Oh, that'd be good.
Because I think that would be great because it's like, get to Lee, because if you don't get Lee, then Ward's going to have to come
up. Ward.
Yes, I know. So she's the pre and he's...
charges more too. I just saying.
Yeah, well, he's an attorney, you know, and he's in California. No, but he's really cool. But that... going and knowing about the company, you know, you should do that before you apply, but you took it that step, like, do you want to? Because if something negative happens, that will impact your resume later, wouldn't it too? I mean, so there's, you know, I just never thought of, okay. And I wish I'd read that years ago when I went out in the workforce, because I got myself into all kinds of trouble, just not being aware that companies could be so negligent. And higher, I mean, there's sexual abuse things that happen in companies, harassment, I should say, you know, Ward always talks about that. And there were situations I was in and where I couldn't talk to my boss. And so I just, like Nancy, quit. I had one guy I worked with try to kiss me, kiss my butt. I think I told him to pinch my butt, you know. And I was very young and I didn't feel like I could stand up when he was management over me. And I was pretty new and I went and quit. And then, you know, later she asked me, the owner, well, why did you quit? And I told her what happened. And she's like, I really wish you had told me. I would have fired him, like, right there and then. No, I will not stand for anything like that. And she's had other people, you know, quit over the same thing, but I didn't trust her enough to tell her. And just kind of like what Nancy said, didn't have that trust. So if I had known that that guy was like that, or that there were other, you know, girls like me, you know, I was real young at the time that went through that, I would never have applied, you know? And I think companies do, you know, gossip gets out there. And, you know, I know it just in our industry in tourism, I see people, they hop, you know, hotels do it, restaurants, chef hopping, you know, bartenders hop from one to the other, and everybody knows the scandal of what's going down in a town, in a city. Absolutely. I don't care how big it is.
Yeah.
That industry knows, like, don't work for this person. She didn't pay her bills, didn't pay her salary. You know what I mean? So I think what you're saying is so, I know I'm going on and on, but I think it was, I wish we'd known you a long, long time ago.
it is the hospitality industry is probably one of the few industries where people quit, go back to the same environment, get fired, then you get rehired by the same environment, back and forth with the same people in the same town. And it's interesting to me because, I mean, I personally, if I quit, I quit. We're done. That's it. But you see in the hospitality industry that a waitress will get mad and then she'll
server.
And then server, wait, oh yeah, okay. Oh boy, that's a good thing. I don't work in that. But anyway, and then when they will go and get the same job working for the same people that they swore they'd never work for again. And then they'll quit 3 months later. It's a crazy industry. It really is.
But I've worked up in Nunavut, which is north of the Arctic Circle in Canada. So if you look as far as you could possibly look, where you think that there can't possibly be anyone living there, and I've done training sessions up there. So it was just one of the best environments. But, you know, some of those villages are so small that there are just maybe three jobs that you can have.
Wow.
And one of the fellows, when I was teaching management, leadership skills. And so one of the young Inuit guys came up to me and said, I'm having trouble managing my staff. Maybe you can help. And I said, sure, Sheldon, like, what's going on? He said, well, one of them is my sister and one of them is my cousin. And they, whenever I try and tell them what to do, they say, oh, shut up, Sheldon. and so, you know, it's a completely like, for every time you can say, well, here's the rule, you have things like that happen up north that break all the rules.
Yeah.
And the culture is different. And so when I went up there, I had to get used to the fact that even the way they communicated was different. So a lot of times in the United States, if you say to somebody, so is everybody in agreement? give me a yes, everybody will say yes. Well, I would say, so is everybody in agreement and they do this? And scrunching up their nose meant yes. And it was like, okay.
So okay.
Anyways, I'm telling this story, but a lot of times you have to look at the reason they go back to those same jobs is it is the only job in town.
Maybe.
So if you're working in a lot of places and you've got a very specific skill, then you might put up with a bit more crap.
Right.
Because there's no other game in town. So you have to be able to, I think that for anyone who's listening to this, if you're having trouble developing trust, then give me a call. You know, Liz, you can give the number later and let's work on some strategies so that you don't have to leave. If there's only one game in town or you actually like what you do, but there's some person that is just making it so difficult for you that you don't trust the environment. You like your job, you don't like what's going on.
Right.
Then there's things that you can do. And there's things that you can explore. And one of them, you know, a lot of it is around communication. If you're afraid for your job, then that has to be a situation that is handled really delicately. Otherwise, we have to get Warden.
Yes.
And discuss that. But, you know, the example I gave was really unique up in like northern Canada. But in every city, in every town, if you like the task and the job that you're doing, but it's the environment that needs change, then be part of that ability to change that. And I find that there's a lot of people like you, Liz, if you would have known that you could have gone up to her and said, listen, this guy's way too handsy and he's tried to kiss me a couple of times. If you trusted that, you could have kept the job. Maybe it's better that you didn't because you've got a really interesting career now.
Oh yeah. But I mean, yeah, but it's, but I think it is that trust of communication and the environment change. And that's a really good point. There's a regional shortage of that specific job, but there are people that are really, you know, I'm a biologist who only works on this kind of fish and they are the fish person of the world. You need to somehow be able to deal with you don't dump your career that's important and you love over an idiot at work or in a bad environment. The environment has to change. I mean, look at the whole thing with our police force. That's obviously having to change. I mean, because right now, talk about a trust issue. The whole country is in arms over the police force. That happened when we lived in South Africa. You didn't call the cops, as women, you know. So and they changed that. Well, I don't know now, but that way back when, let's put it that way. If you don't have that change of environment, and you have to trust the process, and you have to connect with others that may help you change it, I think everybody, once they get into a trusting environment where you do have fun, where you're having a good time and enjoying your work, no matter how traumatic it could be, if you're, you know, working the ER, or you are a policeman or woman, or you're doing firefighting, this is a very traumatic career. It's very emotionally attached. It's a hard career. So you have to have those things set up where you have to have that team. You have to. And you have to get to the point of, it's like when the military, if you're going to go out into a battle, whether or not you like this person over here, if it's, you know, Shorzy to the right, if you don't like Shorzy, you're going to have to still trust Shorzy to get forward through whatever you're doing, no matter how bad it is.
You have to have each other's back.
That trust culture is, I think, crucial to anything, whether you're online or not, because even, you know, companies do campaigns or projects, special projects. If everyone's supposed to do something as a team at home, online, or whatever, for whatever project is, you still have to trust that so-and-so will get up when they say they will and do their side of the job.
Do their job, yeah.
So I think that's this trust culture at the workplace, whether it's remote or not, is so crucial. But to look, if you're going in for a new career, to look at that and learn, you were talking about learning how to read reviews, you know, we were never really big on the review thing until we started, you know, pet sitting as we travel and reading reviews, because I read a review before we apply for a house sit or a pet sit, because we don't want to be in a filthy, horrible location that doesn't work for us, right. or in a negative. And you have to really read the reviews and learn how to read between the lines.
Yes.
You know,
And, you know, for people who have quit during COVID and they're looking for a new job, there are places like Glassdoor or Yelp, or there's a lot of different review places that will actually give you the reviews from people who have worked within the company, and the company can't buy people off. The company might try and put in a few good reviews, but that's pretty obvious pretty quickly. And people who have worked for the company will write reviews. And so you get a sense, like before, and I said this in the article, before you could walk in the door and you got a sense of what it was like to work for, I always say that I could tell if there was trust in the organization by the amount of laughter I could hear in the hallways. And, you know, before it used to be, well, if there's laughter, you're thinking slackers, what are they laughing about? But really it's not. It's that if people are relaxed and they're laughing with each other, their brains are working better and they're more fully engaged. And that tells you something about how people are getting along. Now you don't have that opportunity to walk in the door and hear that. So you have to rely on being able to do the research. And you can't go up to someone and say, well, tell me a little bit about this place. But asking questions like, would this be a place that my best friend would want to work for? Or I would recommend to my best friend to work at this company because it's a great place to work. So you can find people within the organization and ask them, you know, like what's good about working for the company?
I think that's a really good idea. And also, I mean, you can look at LinkedIn, you can see people's profiles, you can see what they post. You know, is it negative? Is it, you know, crazy political stuff? What are they doing as individuals? Even if, you know, you get all these executives that are, my opinions are my own and not my company's, but, and you're still spouting them out there. Well, you're letting us all know who you are. It doesn't matter if it's not the company's. You're still in some way, it's a very odd thing. I think one day, well, it's already happening. The new wave is like, what are you allowed to do on social media when you're working for someone? You know what I mean? Can you be your own person on social media? And that's a whole other new, that's a whole other thing. But you can use it to check people out.
But it's the same as if you're talking to other people and you're working for a specific company, you really do have to watch what you say because it'll get back, you know? So, you know, you tend to have your friends be partially your coworkers too, because you know them so well. You spend a lot of time usually in the workforce. You spend time with people. So you really do have to be careful what you say, whether it's online or verbally.
Because once it's online, it can be up there forever. You can think that you erase it, but if someone else has copied it, it's there forever. So you should be really careful about what is posted. And that's one of the things my husband and I talk about. Like, it's not that we weren't hellraisers when we were younger. It's just that there's no proof.
See, well, and it's true. Like, I don't know what the pandemic would have been like without the internet. You know, we're very fortunate that we have the internet because, you know, a lot of countries don't have internet everywhere, and the people just really don't have work at all now. So it's, we're fortunate here.
That's excellent.
Do you remember the story? You read my book. So I was thinking about this with all of the harassment. And one of my closest friends works in the movie industry. She's a set decorator. And she got an Academy Award nomination when she did the set decoration for Clint Eastwood movie. Anyways, her background, I can go on.
You're just trying to mess with Nancy now.
Yeah, okay. And I've heard that story. But she... a Gemini Award for Passchendaele, which was a movie out of Canada. But she was working on one movie and she had a young girl working for her. It was her first or second day on the job, and she was sent to the warehouse to pick up a prop and bring it back up to the office. And the director saw her going out, and he jumped and chased, you know, kind of walked after her, and then tried to sexually molest her in the warehouse. Wow. And she fought him and ran back to Jan's office crying, and, you know, told her, and Jan said, "That's it. We're calling the police. We're going to report him." Now, this was years before the Me Too movement. So, and directors are God on a movie, especially a big budget Hollywood movie.
Yeah,
and Jan is in the craft area, which doesn't have as much power, but, and she's tiny. And I said, she makes Florence Nightingale look mean. Jan is one of those people who finds baby birds out of nests and hand feeds them and puts them back in the nest. She's one of the kindest people I know. But she marched into this director's office and said, "If you touch one more girl or one other person unwanted on this set, and I don't care if they work for me or if they work for another department, I will cut off your balls and put them in the basket and hand them to you." I don't know if I'm allowed to say that in the
kitchen. You can say whatever you want. Yeah.
That's okay with me.
Anyway, I was so shocked because Jan is known as being one of the easiest going people to get along with on the set. She's a hard worker. She's fair. But when this young girl was too afraid, she said, "Jan, I'll never work again. I'm just starting out."
See.
And Jan said, "I'll take care of it," and marched in. And of course it got around. Now, years and years later, she was at a big bash party, and this director saw her kind of turned white. And she's tiny, like she's this tiny little woman, walked up to her and said, "Jan, I've changed. I no longer try anything with anyone."
That's hysterical. That is hysterical.
Oh, so he got snipped.
Yeah. Metaphorically speaking. But what I want people to say, to understand, is that you have to decide how important your values are to you. And for Jan, taking care of the people who worked for her was so important that in that moment, she didn't care if she got canned. Well, first of all, she knew that she had some power because she's really good at her job. And working on this big set, it wouldn't have been that easy to replace her. So I think you first of all have to understand your worth and your value.
Right.
And she did. And the second thing is, if you stand up for yourself, a lot of these bullies are also cowardly. I'm sorry, my dog is screaming.
He's a great. We didn't know which dog.
I'm like, who's growling?
We've got two dogs here, so you know.
I'm like, what did I do?
Booker's got good timing.
Usually is very quiet.
That's well, funny. You know, it's a dog connection here, but no, but he's agreeing with you. But I think that's the thing. It is about knowing your value, and it's like calculated risk, right? It is that, but standing up for what's right for who you're working with or who's working for you, you know, that is important. That's that level of trust. You know, you want teamwork is that your team has your back and you have their back. Yeah. And that should be for leadership as well. You know, it's like, if you can't trust that person, it's not going to work. The company is not going to be productive. Mm-hmm. They're not going to manage deadlines. They're not going to be able, that wheel will always keep going and stop at one point and never just do a full rotation and spin around like it should, you know? So it's important. And I love what you wrote about that. I know so many people going out into the workforce now, it's, you know, there's desperation times. Will you take anything? But honestly, having what can happen on your resume is important, that you work in the right place. And the better places you work, the better for your resume. It's like, she worked there. How la-di-da, you know, compared to, you work there. They are idiots over there. So if you're working for an idiot, you've already tainted yourself and your reputation, because people just do that blanket. It doesn't mean they're right or wrong. It's just that first impression blanket thing that people do. You know, it's, and then people don't ask about what's important. They'll go, "What's it like working for that idiot?" You know, that's that mentality. You know what I mean? It's all about the idiot versus you who's got the value. So it's a, That's interesting. I really appreciate that. Everyone, again, you can go to LeeBrovaDanny.com and her blogs are up there. Of course, go get her books. They're on Amazon. You can get Trust Me and the other one is Trusted. And also, Lee, you were talking about people calling you. I know Ward does this too. It's like you allow people to, you set up a time for like a phone consultation. You don't charge anyone. You just kind of have a conversation and see if you trust each other to work together.
Well, I'm not going to be everyone's, you know, honestly, they might have problems that I can't work with or can't work on. I can't.
Yeah.
For me, perhaps all it takes is an hour. Mm. Maybe. It's just they have a conversation with me and they go, right, it's done. I don't need to do any more and problem solved. I don't try and sell anything. If people find value in it, then they'll talk to me. Mm-hmm. But it gives them an opportunity to see if there's some solutions that they can use right away to help fix the situation.
Yeah, I think with all the change going on, that it's super important. And, you know, we got to get back together as a community, you know, not just in this country, but around the world. We need to, and you work with people around the world.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Cause you can be, because you're virtual and you like to travel. Right. So you'll go somewhere, you know, and you're going to Dallas. Maybe we'll see you when you're there.
Yeah, would that be great? So I'll have to send you the dates and see where you're going to be.
Oh, cool.
Because I could drive.
We're going to be in Dallas this month. We're going to be Dallas and Austin and, yeah, we're going to be in Texas for a while.
I'm fully vaccinated now, and you're fully vaccinated. And
that's it. We can have Prosecco.
We can have,
Or tequila. We can have tequila.
Oh, yeah, tequila over there. Exactly. Tequila and really good Tex-Mex food. That sounds good.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I love it. I love it. But thanks so much, Lee. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you. Thanks, Nancy. It's good to see both of you. As much as I enjoy talking on the phone, this is so much more fun, just being able to see you.